to the official FanSided College Podcast at fansided.com. All right, welcome to our second episode of the official FanSided College Podcast here at fansided.com. I'm your host, Michael. I'm with Mark. Mark, how you doing?
I'm good. You make me sound like a guest each time. I think I'm official now.
I think so too. You wanna start off with the NIT?
Oh, I love some NIT. This year the NIT has been fun. There's only one number one seed left, actually, right now. We're looking at Washington. Tomorrow there's a Washington Oregon matchup. There's also a UMass Drexel matchup. And Drexel, we talked about last week how I thought they should have been in the field. And Drexel's proven that they should be in the field. They rolled through UCF, rolled through UNI, and now they got UMass tomorrow at 7 p.m. And then Washington, Oregon's at 9 p.m. You got Middle Tennessee versus Minnesota and Nevada versus Stanford all left in the field of eight.
There we go. And then Oregon-Washington, I mean, that's always a big rivalry. How'd you guys fare against them this year?
Oh, split, each on their home court. Huskies won on their home court, and then Ducks won on their home court. And the Huskies are looking – they got a bitter taste in their mouth because the Oregon game was last at their court. So the Huskies got a bitter taste in their mouth. They're pretty excited, actually, about this matchup. It's always fun to play your rival.
And for everyone listening at home, if you want perfect NIT coverage, go to thehuskyhall.com. That's Mark's site, or go to Joe Soriano's site, OttsonZoo.com. He's really covering everything over there from the Ducks end.
Yeah, OttsonZoo is doing a better job of covering the NIT than the Husky Hall. The Husky Hall is just covering it from the Husky perspective.
That's probably true. I mean, Joe's on top of everything.
Yeah, Joe's doing everything over there.
All right, Mark, let's look into the NCAA tournament, the real tournament, not just the NIT. And
not the not-invited tournament?
Yes, not the... The not in tournament. And let's look at the first weekend we had a couple big upsets, but there really wasn't any excitement besides those two upsets. I mean, Lehigh takes out Duke and Norfolk State takes out Missouri, but there wasn't really any buzzer beaters. There wasn't games that were just had you on the edge of your seat, but there were still upsets.
There's no buzzer beaters and no overtime games in the first two rounds, which is kind of crazy. Well, technically it's three rounds now because they count the play-in games as the first round. But yeah,
they really
need
to stop that. Just call it the first four, and then you can still call it the first round and the second round, because having to call the round of 64 the second round is really pathetic.
Yeah, and it's kind of confusing too, because I'm like, what, did I miss something? Oh, wait, no, they do that every year, or now 2 years in a row. But yeah, I liked. There was a few other upsets that were pretty surprising. I guess Ohio over Michigan, and then Ohio again over South Florida. I mean, that's not much of an upset because it was a 12-13. But South Florida was hot. They were just rolling through teams.
Yeah, and I think you look at Ohio, and Ohio really is a strong shooting team. So they kind of gave Michigan a dose of their own medicine, because Michigan, as we mentioned last week, they're a team, if they're going to shoot their threes, if they're going to hit them, they're going to go pretty far in the tournament. If they're not, they're going to get bounced out really quick, and that's what we saw right away.
Yeah. You probably have the stats right in front of you, but Michigan did not shoot the three very well at all. They were cold from outside, and Ohio was hot.
Well, the ironic thing is they actually didn't shoot so bad, Michigan. I mean, they were 30%. Usually when you think of 30%, it's not that bad. But they just made seven. And usually you see Michigan, they're making 10, 12 shots. I mean,
well, seven, distance. I mean, 30% is not great for Michigan, though. I mean, that's not bad for a regular college team. But for Michigan, that's pretty rough. They average about 40% on the season. So
yeah, and then Ohio shot 6 for 16.
So that's not even good either, but they were able to pull it out somehow, beat them up. And Ohio, what? The state itself's got five teams, is that right?
They got four.
Four teams.
Xavier, and both Cincinnati and Xavier, that whole issue with those two brawling at the beginning of the year, and now they're in the Sweet 16 together on opposite sides of the bracket. Can you imagine if they met in the Final Four? That'd be kind of nuts. But those two teams, and then Ohio and Ohio State.
Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy if they met in the Final Four, that's for sure.
And Cincinnati.
They got some bad blood.
Yeah, for sure. And you look at we're gonna preview this in a little bit later, but Cincinnati and Ohio State right there, probably the two biggest talk I mean the most talked about schools in the state of Ohio. And you know Cincinnati's got a chip on their shoulder because Ohio State is the school in Ohio, so you know there's a little bit of that little brother syndrome over there.
Yeah, and you gotta like the Yancey Gates and Jarrett Solinger matchup down low. That'll be fun post play in that game.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who punches first.
Ohio State doesn't strike me as the team that would throw the first blow, but hey, you never know. Heated rivalry, heated in-state.
Exactly. So let's look a little more into more of the games that went on. So we had in the South region, we can look over that really quick. Kentucky breezed through their first two games. Actually, probably shouldn't say they breezed through their second game because while they beat Western Kentucky pretty easily, they did face Iowa State, who beat Connecticut pretty soundly. But that Kentucky and Iowa State game, that was a pretty interesting one because Kentucky and Iowa State were tied at what, 42? And then Kentucky went on some big long run. You want to talk about that one, Mark?
Yeah, that one was a fun one to watch. Well, if you're a Kentucky fan, I'm sure it was nerve-wracking until about that run. They were duking it out, and then Kentucky is probably easily the best team in the nation at scoring and scoring fast. And that's exactly what they did. They got on a roll, and they just couldn't be stopped. There was just no one that could stop what they were doing. And it wasn't just one person that was really taking over the game. It was as a team. They were just rolling. And they just stormed through Ohio State or Iowa State. Sorry. We're switching states. Iowa State and Kentucky, Iowa State caught up towards the end and made it so it doesn't look as bad on a box score. But for a while there, they were on just quite the run where it looked like Iowa State may only score two more points the whole game. I mean, it was that bad for a while.
Yeah, I think at one point, I mean, the run was something like 24-2 or 22-2.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah,
And
that's.
Kentucky was and they did that in what just a few minutes. I mean, it wasn't long.
They can score so fast, it's crazy. And I mean, they put up 48 points in the second half. I mean, you do that against any team, you're gonna win most of the time, unless you're Oregon. And who did Oregon just play in the NIT?
Iowa, the non-state version, Iowa, the Hawkeyes. Yeah, that was crazy. That was an NBA score, 101 to 97. I mean, who does that, especially in the NIT? There's no defense.
That was pretty insane. Let's move on down the South region. A little bit farther down, we had the Indiana blew through New Mexico State. VCU just squeaked by Wichita State. Shaka Smart kept it going, and then they ran into Indiana. Indiana wins 63-61 to advance to the Sweet 16. They're going to get Kentucky in a
Which is fun. Rematch, right?
a rematch of that big game when they beat Kentucky at home in Bloomington with the big buzzer beater to win it.
Yeah, there's a potential buzzer beater right there. Though I don't know how good Indiana will do on a neutral court, and Kentucky's really hot right now. But if there's anyone on this side of the bracket, I really feel like Indiana has the best shot at pulling the upset against Kentucky. I don't really think Baylor can do it. I don't think Xavier can do it. But we'll see. I mean, Baylor was losing to Colorado, and then it was a tough game, a tough close game, from the majority until the end when they just went on a run. But for a while, many were thinking Colorado might pull off the upset against Baylor. But then Hitsup hit like what he hit nine threes in that game.
Something like that. He was really crazy. I mean, Baylor's shooting in general just really took off there in the second half, and really the second half of their opening round game against South Dakota State because they were struggling in that game early. They were down, I think, by something like 7 or 8, and they came all the way back to win that one. I mean, they outscored Colorado by 15 in the second half, and yeah, Heslop he hit 9 threes, so that's pretty nuts. Anytime you do
Pretty
that.
intense. I think 12's the record in the tournament, or 11. It's something like that. I think it's maybe 11.
He was 9
But
of 12.
which is just crazy. That's a ridiculous shooting percentage, especially from deep.
Yep. And
I like in that region. I mean, I like a Baylor Kentucky matchup to happen because Baylor. I think Baylor's going to beat Xavier. I think Kentucky's going to handle Indiana, though it may be a close one. Kentucky Baylor, and I think Kentucky advances to the Final Four. What about you on that region?
I like Xavier to give Baylor a run for their money. I think Xavier with two Holloway, they can make things happen. And I mean, they took out Lehigh pretty easily. They got lucky with Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame really shot themselves in the foot in the last couple seconds there.
There was a lot of bad calls in that game too, right?
Yeah, because you look at there's something like 2.8 seconds to go. Notre Dame's about ready to tie the game. They have two free throws, and they call a lane violation.
Yeah, that's right.
And it wasn't even the guy in the lane. It was one of the players in the backcourt for crossing the three-point line a little bit early. And Charles Barkley was really upset with that when they went back to the studio.
I understand rules are rules, and I mean, when they went back and they looked at it, it was technically a violation of the rule, but that's one of those that needs to be edited, kind of like the carry rule has. I mean, almost every point guard in America carries the ball, as it used to be written, or may still even be written, but they just ignore it. And it's one of those. It's one of those rules, the lane violation. Unless it's disturbing the shooter, I don't see really a problem. I don't really see a problem with it. And that guy came from behind, and by the time the ball was out of his hands, the shooter had no idea he was even running. So it wasn't disturbing the shot.
Exactly. You look at it compared to football. I mean, there's holding on every single play in football, but
yeah.
It only gets called, I mean, very rarely when it's completely obvious, and it should be the same way for lane violations.
And that wasn't the only lane violation call in this tournament. That's two that we've seen, and I haven't even seen that call all year, and we got the Pac-12 refs over here that I'm watching every week, and those guys are terrible. So that's rough when it's decided two games this season or in this tournament.
Yeah, because you look at Notre Dame, and like I said, they were going to tie the game. The game goes to overtime, and you probably like Notre Dame's chances over Xavier in overtime anyways. So, I mean, that was pretty huge for the Irish. But moving forward, I do like Xavier with two Holloway to take out Baylor. Because Baylor, like we've talked about, against South Dakota State, they struggled, only won by 8. They struggled against Colorado. They won by 17, but I mean, they beat him by 15 in the second half, so for a half that was really close. I don't like Xavier to go to the Final Four, obviously. That's definitely Kentucky's region to win, especially with that game, those games in Atlanta. It's a short drive from Lexington. It's going to be all blue. There's no way Kentucky...
And Kentucky fans travel well anyways. It could have been anywhere, and they travel pretty well.
Right, and there's no way that Kentucky does not make the Final Four. They, by far, the only lock in, I think it's a pretty consensus lock to get to the Final Four right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, Indiana's going to be their biggest problem between here and the Final Four, but I don't think that happens. Indiana, even though they beat them earlier in the season, you play that game 10 times over, and Kentucky wins it 9 of those 10 times. And so that one time Indiana pulled it off was pretty impressive. And I don't think that happens again. I think Kentucky, especially when you watch them do that run against Iowa State, if they can play passionate basketball all the time and together as a team, I don't see them losing at all. I mean, there's not a team in this tournament that can beat them when they play like that.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be on top of it, especially with Calipari. He really wants to get that elusive championship that's never...
Well, yeah, that's their biggest drawback right now, is the past that's haunting Calipari, that he just can't get over that Final Four hump.
Well, they should have had the one with Memphis. I mean,
yeah.
Was it Chris Douglas Roberts that couldn't make the shots?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. That's vaguely clouding my memory.
Let's move on down to the West. We got, just to recap a little bit, Michigan State took care of business in both of their games. They beat Long Island Brooklyn in their opening game, their opening second round game. And then St. Louis takes out Memphis pretty handily, by 7. And Michigan State got lucky against St. Louis there in the round of 32. Michigan State wins by just 4. St. Louis probably should have ended up winning that game, actually. but that's going to set up a Sweet 16 matchup with Louisville. Louisville took out Davidson and New Mexico. Both were a little bit tight, but New Mexico got past that great team from Long Beach State that you know that I was raving about last week.
Yeah, I followed your advice and got a big red crossed out on my bracket.
Hey, at least it gives people more of a chance to win in the fan side of Bracket Busters, even though we're not eligible anyways. I mean, it gives people more of a chance to win.
I feel like you convinced me. You should know. You're from L.A. You should know if Long Beach is good or not. I guess not.
Hey, they were good. They should have won the game. I mean, if you rewatch it, they had their chances. They just
that's true.
Couldn't drop the buckets in the first half. But really, Michigan State, Louisville, who you got?
Well, I go back a little, the Louisville-New Mexico matchup. I really liked that game, and especially seeing what you saw from Louisville is that they didn't rely so heavily on Peyton Siva as much as they, you know, normally do. He had, what, 4 points or something? It was really not a normal day for Peyton Siva, yet they were able to pull off the win. And that's kind of a scary reality when you're Michigan State, because you have a team that can win in the NCAA tournament without their best player. Oh, he had 6 points. Without their best player really putting on a show. And so that's scary. That's scary for Michigan State. And I actually have Louisville, and I've had it from the beginning, as the upset over Michigan State in that round. I just think, as you've noted in the past, the guard play is going to be big in this tournament. And Louisville's got some decent guards, got some studs in there. On their team.
And then you just look at the Big East tournament as a whole. I mean, you win the Big East tournament, all this momentum is just carried right into the actual tournament. And UConn did it last year, and Louisville's doing it this year. I mean, sure, they've only won two games so far, but I think they can definitely ride that wave and take out Izzo. Pitino takes out Izzo in a classic battle of the coaches.
And I see Louisville as a potential for the Final Four in this region. I mean, Florida, Marquette may be the ones to contend with that.
Yeah, and I think Florida Marquette might be the best matchup of the Sweet 16s, actually. And
that'll be a fun game.
Yeah. I mean, Florida has just steamrolled their first two opponents. They steamrolled Virginia and Norfolk State, and obviously Norfolk State had a big win, but I don't remember who they beat. Who did they beat, Mark?
Norfolk State, they beat Missouri.
That's right, the same team that I had winning the national championship. That's right.
Well, it's weird, because I had Florida as my team crush, I guess you could say, in the last bracket, and they've only shown how smart I look, because I really like Florida, and I still really like Florida. They're a really good team, and like I said last time, if they can win on neutral sites, which they've done twice now in this tournament, they've got a real good shot at getting out of this region. Florida's a really good team, and they're freshmen. They're a true freshman. Bradley Beal is a stud, and if he gets going and he gets some confidence, he can do some damage.
Yeah, and with Jim Donovan, I mean, he's obviously motivated. Because Florida's really had some kind of struggling years the last few years. And just looking at a coach's perspective, the West probably has the best coaches in it. You look at Izzo, Pitino, Crean, and Donovan. I mean, is there a better region that has better coaches than those four? Probably not.
Yeah, it's a pretty impressive list right there. And especially because most of those have really upheld their reputation over the years, too. I mean, You got a little bit of varnish on a Pitino, but for the most part, they've kept their noses clean.
Yeah, and so because of that, you take in Louisville over Florida.
In the Elite Eight, you mean?
In the Elite Eight, yeah.
Well, I had Missouri going to the Final Four, so my bracket's no use with me here. I think I'm gonna put Florida in over Louisville. But I do think that one will be a crazy matchup. If they face each other, if Marquette loses to Florida and Louisville versus Florida happens, that will be one of my favorite games to watch in probably this entire tournament.
Well, you have probably two of your biggest man crushes going on in Siva and Beal going head against each other.
That's true. and that will be a fun one to watch.
Okay, let's move over to the East. We got Syracuse. They've really struggled in their first game, nearly lost to UNC Asheville.
Probably should have lost to UNC
You
Asheville.
want to explain that one a little bit?
That was was that the first lane violation, right?
I think, yeah, that was
That
the
was
one with
also
the
the
big
one where they
call.
got the terrible out of bounds call. That's the one that's more making UNC Asheville fans mad than the other one is when the Syracuse player got it bounced off his chest and out of bounds, and the ref is standing right there and makes the bad call to give the ball back to Syracuse when UNC Asheville had some momentum and had a chance to take the lead or tie the game. I don't remember the exact score at that moment, but and that was right after that lane violation call. And so that was a rough go for it. We were close to seeing the first 16 seed ever beat a one. And there was a few blown calls and a few missed opportunities, and Syracuse was able to hold on.
Interesting enough, I mean, you think the way Syracuse struggled in their opening round game, that Kansas State was really gonna give them all they can handle. And we talked about it last week that Kansas State would give Syracuse a rough go of it. And even without Fab Mello, I mean, Syracuse didn't really have trouble with Kansas State, which I kind of found interesting.
Yeah, it was definitely they. Jim Boeheim must have refocused them after that UNC Asheville game because I mean it wasn't UNC Asheville played really well, but Syracuse wasn't playing their best ball. They weren't playing very good, and so I definitely give credit to UNC Asheville for almost pulling it off. But Syracuse wasn't playing as a number one seed, that's for sure. And it was really I had Kansas State knocking them off in my bracket ahead of time, and I really was feeling good after the UNC Asheville performance. But there's obviously a refocusing that happened, and they came out ready to take out Kansas State, and they did. They beat them by nearly 20 points.
Yeah, that's great coaching right there from Boeheim. That's what happens when you coach for 30 years.
And so Syracuse looked good in that second game without their one of their best players, if not their best player.
Yeah, Melo probably is their best player. He's such a defensive-minded player that really gives him an anchor down low. So without him, I mean, they're probably a stretch for the Final Four, would you say?
I would say they're a stretch for the Wisconsin game that they're about to play against. Because Wisconsin is boring basketball, but it's winning basketball. And so they slow the game down. They take their time. They make the whole shot clock on both ends of the floor. They use the whole shot clock, basically. And they just really, really grind out teams. And they. A 10-point lead by them is a 40-point lead by Kentucky or another powerhouse team, you know. And so, if Wisconsin really, you know, Wisconsin's going to come out with a very defensive-minded focus, and if they can set the pace of the game versus Syracuse, it's a Wisconsin's game to win or lose.
Yeah, I mean they can definitely hold their own, and you saw it against Vanderbilt too. I mean, they took out Vanderbilt, who was probably one of the dark horses to make it all the way to the final, and there was a lot of smart people that were really taking Vanderbilt to go all the way. I mean, I know a
I don't
couple of
know any
people.
of
Yeah, I
them.
mean, I personally don't want to be associated with those people, but I know there were a lot of people that had Missouri over Vanderbilt in their bracket, and they look really stupid right now, but definitely don't want to associate with those people.
So, I mean, this is a perfect example of Wisconsin basketball is Vanderbilt scored almost 80 points, 79 points against Harvard to win. In their next game against Wisconsin, they scored 57 points. So, I mean, that's a huge swing, and all they did was have a different opponent. And look at Wisconsin. They held Montana to under 50 points in their first round matchup. It's just they just grind out games and they just beat teams by defense.
And you know, you talked about the difference in points for Vandy. Moving on down the bracket, you look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati scored 65 against Texas in a win. And then they beat Florida State very last game of the first weekend, and they get 62 points. So it
And they
really.
also, they held their opponents to about the same amount of points too, 59 and 56.
Right.
So they're a very consistent team.
And that Cincinnati Florida State game was really interesting too. I mean, it could have gone down either way, but Cincinnati comes out on top. They got a couple big steals there at the end. Florida State really got in trouble with the turnovers, and it cost them. And again, Florida State was a dark horse team to go to the Final Four, especially with Syracuse without Fab Melo. I mean, that whole region was just thrown up to the wind. Any of the first five
Yeah,
teams could make it. And now, I
the
mean,
East has probably messed up the most brackets.
yeah,
I mean,
and the funny thing is, it's been all chalk.
yeah, it has, which is funny, and that's exactly right. It has been all chalk, but more, many people, that was their dark horse that they had in the Final Four. That was the one where you mess up the 1 and 2 seeds is what comes out of there for the most part. I mean, there's still a lot of brackets, especially people that don't watch a lot of basketball, that have Syracuse or Ohio State going on, and I do. I have Ohio State going on, but I really thought that that was the region that would mess me up, because I thought maybe Vanderbilt would do it, or maybe even Kansas State if they got hot, or Cincinnati has a shot, or Florida State. So yeah, that region's a little nuts.
Yeah, I think it's one of those regions where you'd play it 10 times and you'd probably get 10 winners out of the thing.
Yeah, and then Gonzaga almost took it to Ohio State if you go to all the way to the bottom game.
Yeah, and Gonzaga really, they took West Virginia behind the woodshed, and I know you had West Virginia winning last week, so.
No, I didn't actually. I changed it after the
Okay. Yeah. See.
podcast. So yeah, if you look at my bracket, it's fixed, it's green, looks good. But yeah, I thought about it, you know, I really just mulled over it, and I really just was like, you know, Gonzaga's got this. With Sacre down low, I just really feel like he's a mismatch for that bearded dude that's on West Virginia, and that proved to be right.
Is that how you're classifying people now, the bearded dude?
Yeah. Well, it's better than racial stereotypes, so
Well,
let's go back to facial hair.
I'm telling you, I mean, for those listening, Mark and I just finished watching the Stanford Illinois State game in the NIT, and Stanford wins in overtime over Illinois State. Illinois State probably should have won. They had like an 11-point lead late in the second half, but that's not the point. But Stanford wins, and they showed the clip of this guy, and he's on the Stanford bench, one of the players. He's got a full beard and long hair. He looks just like the Geico guy. Like one of the cavemen, I swear.
So
It was
it
him.
wasn't Andrew Luck though.
It could have been. He definitely he could have been related, or his
Yeah,
roommate or something.
they don't believe in razors at Stanford, I guess.
I guess not. They give all the razors to everyone at Cal.
Sad but true.
Let's move on down to the Midwest, since you have Ohio State taking out Cincinnati, and we talked
Who
about
do you
the.
have in that one? You want to remind us?
I kind of like Cincinnati. I mean,
Wait, who'd you originally have? Let's put it that way first.
who did I originally have?
Yeah.
Hold on, I got to pull up my bracket.
You,
I've been having it hidden away. Actually, I mean, you look at my East right now. I'll run down for all the two people that are listening right now. I'll run down my East. I got the first, I mean, the round of 64 all correct, because it was all chalk. I mean, that was the easiest
Easiest
bracket.
round.
Yeah,
Yeah.
easiest round. You look at the round of 32, I got 3 out of 4. So I got Syracuse right. I missed up with Vanderbilt. I had Vandy going all the way, as I'm semi alluded to earlier,
Yeah,
if you caught that.
that's why I wanted you to fess up with it. Fess up.
But I had Cincinnati and Ohio State, and to this day, I mean, you can double check it over at bustingbrackets.com/tourney, and go up, look at my find. I challenge you, go find my bracket, the 110 report bracket. And I do have Cincinnati beating Ohio State. So you can go double check, and you can see it now, and then you'll see it over the weekend that Cincinnati will beat Ohio State. You
I
heard it
think
here.
you should avoid that pick at all costs, because every other team that he has told you to like has failed. So
Come on, Mark.
I just want to
There's
you should
something
avoid
about Cincinnati that I really
that.
like.
Remember when you said there's something about Long Beach State?
Hey, Casper Ware, come on.
There's something about who was the other team that you were really bought into and they lost in the first round? Missouri.
Missouri.
Yeah, that's right. The only team you got right so far with that, there's something about, is Nevada. They're doing good in the NIT.
Well, yeah, it's these underachieving teams that, you know, I really connect with. But
Yeah.
let's keep moving on down the bracket to the Midwest. North Carolina took care of business in their first two games, and pretty easily as well. I mean, it took out the Catamounts of Vermont. Love saying that name, the Catamounts. I mean, it's probably the best name in all of college sports.
What is a catamount? Come on, drop some trivia on these fools.
Isn't it like some sort of medieval person?
I have no idea. You're the one that's supposed to drop trivia. This, you
Okay.
might need to cut this part out of the podcast.
Keep talking about Creighton, and I'll look it up for everyone listening right now.
Creighton? Why would I want to talk about Creighton? Doug McDermott is really good, and
It's a cougar.
but oh, it is. It's a cougar, a
It's
catamount.
a cougar.
Oh,
Yeah, see,
all
I
right,
totally wouldn't have thought that.
like a 40-year-old lady cougar, or like one with claws. Wait, they both have claws. The one with. All right,
We promise this is rated G, by the way.
so Midwest. Oh,
Yeah.
the Midwest. I really screwed up a lot in the Midwest too, but that was because it was probably the biggest region without chalk. I mean, you got NC State still a lot around. South Florida, Ohio, and Ohio went on past South Florida, as we talked about earlier.
We had
So,
four teams that were double digit seeds that won their first game. And but when you really think about it, were any of the four a total surprise? Probably not. I mean,
no, that's true.
we talked about it last week, we talked about it earlier today, about Michigan's not hitting the threes, that they were in trouble against Ohio. They lost. South Florida, I actually picked South Florida to beat
Over
Temple.
Temple, yeah, you did. And NC State and San Diego State, that was my
That was a
toss up
toss-up.
for that was the one I went back and forth on the podcast about. And then I said, whichever team goes out of it will beat Georgetown. And that's what I said. And I ended up picking on my bracket San Diego State, and I regret it obviously. But I hold true that whatever team came out of that 6-11 seed would beat Georgetown, and that did happen.
And you did call Purdue over St. Mary's.
I did. That's true. But I think you did too, so.
I stuck to St. Mary's. There's some.
Really, your man crush on Robbie Hummel too.
I know, and it hurt me. You know, what really hurt was. I mean, we'll get to that game in a couple minutes because we'll start to the top and go to the bottom. But seeing Robbie Hummel cry at the end, I mean. If that didn't bring a tear to your eye, then I don't know what will.
Yeah. Have we not already gone from the top to the bottom? I mean, we've covered all those games.
All
Pretty
right.
good.
Let's talk about that Purdue Kansas game. I mean, to me, that game was the biggest botch of the whole tournament. Kansas, I wrote it on Twitter. If you're not following me on Twitter, follow me at Carlos Liston. But
Shameless plug.
yes,
That
complete shameless plug. But
was good.
Purdue, they had the game. They completely had the game. They were up by a point. I believe it was a point to Kansas. They come down the court with the ball. They lose it. It gets batted away. The Jayhawks come right back and take the ball right away and lay it up. So now Kansas is up. So Purdue comes right back down again, and they got a chance to, you know, take the lead. The guy dribbles in, takes a couple moves. He takes a shot, bounces off the rim. Purdue gets the rebound, tries to take another pass out to the perimeter. It's intercepted by Kansas. Then Kansas comes down to the clock is running out, by the way. And instead of just killing the clock and pulling a, you know, DeSean Jackson and Monday Night Football or the guy in Brandon Jacobs in the Super Bowl, he did not do it. He scored for the Giants. You know, instead of just killing the clock, Kansas goes and takes the dunk. So there's 2 seconds to go. Purdue gets one last chance, and they almost get it actually. It banks off the back of the backboard, hits the rim, nearly goes in. But Purdue had that game if they didn't turn over the ball in the last, you know, half minute there. I mean, they had the lead and the ball on Kansas. Kansas should have lost.
And you know how crazy that would have been? It would have been a 10 seed versus an 11 seed the round of whatever that is, 16, right?
Yeah, the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that would have been crazy. And that means one of them would have gone to the Elite Eight. There would have been an 11 or a 10 in the Elite Eight, which would, I mean, that's not unheard of, but that would be crazy that a 10's playing an 11 to get to the Elite Eight.
Well, you look at it would have been a 10, an 11, and a 13. And
Yeah.
then North Carolina
And
is the
then a
one.
one.
Right.
Yeah.
But, North Carolina State and Purdue, I mean, they're a lot better than normal 10 and 11 seeds are. I mean, it's been talked about all season long that really all of college basketball is down, that Kentucky and Syracuse were by far the top two teams in the whole country this year, and the only two teams that looked like they were going to win the tournament. But, there still is some quality depth in the field of 64 or 68, whatever it is, and NC State and Purdue are a lot better than your average 10 or 11. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't really agree with this statement that all of college basketball is down. I know it's been talked about out there, but it's not true. You look at it, it's probably the product is up, the brand is up, and what that really means is that there's more and more high school basketball players that are good because they've been working and they've been trying and they've been getting good. And so you have more and more recruits to pick from that are all probably equally as talented. And so then you get a team like, Norfolk Stike that lands a McQuinn, even though that was his only offer, and he developed a lot later in life. But that's the kind of thing that's happening now, is that not all the top teams are getting the top talent. They're going elsewhere, or they're developing late, or they're late bloomer. And so you see a lot of that. You see a lot of that happening, and a lot of these coaches, because some of these coaches have never played college basketball, but they've studied it in and out and in and out. And those are often the smarter coaches that come out of this to really develop some of these players and really have these X's and O's to make this game, well, crazy and intense and beat teams that they shouldn't beat.
Yeah, and I think when you look at terms of recruits and good recruits still going to mid-majors,
Yeah.
it usually breaks down in terms of size because the big guys are always going to go to the big schools, and there's always extra guards because, I mean, let's face it, even you and I can get hot and hit some threes at some point, but, there's always a lot, there's more guards at smaller schools. And more good little guys at smaller schools than good bigs. You never see a huge big that's playing at Vermont, for instance. But yet,
Well, that's any good. Yeah, that's true. I
right.
mean, it, if the thing is in recruiting, if you're 7 feet tall or 6'11" or 6'10", I mean, if you're 6'8" or over, you're getting a scholarship, if as long as you can handle a basketball. I mean, that's the thing. And so, yeah, you're right. If they're really good, they're gonna go to a bigger school. But yeah, guards are everywhere. I mean, because that's just normal, because the average height of a man is 5'11", 5'10", whatever it is now. And so you got to think about that. The majority of basketball players are going to be around the 6'3" to 6'6" height range. And so, yeah, if you're a big dude, you got a free ride if you can play basketball at all. But if you're a guard, you have to be exceptional. And a lot of these exceptional guards aren't really getting discovered, or there's just so many of them in their class that they're going to places, like New Mexico and St. Louis and Temple.
Yeah, and you're talking about the bigs. It's kind of the whole rule, if you're a high school pitcher and you're throwing a 95 mile an hour fastball, you don't have to control it. You're gonna get a scholarship of some sort.
Yeah, that's the same for sure. And so out of that region, I originally picked Kansas. I'm not super confident in that pick as much anymore. I really like the way North Carolina's playing, and they've got another easy, or this should be easy, matchup against Ohio. I mean, who knows? Ohio's been doing good, obviously. They beat Michigan, they beat South Florida, but North Carolina should handle Ohio, and then they got to play Kansas or NC State, and I like that matchup too. So, North Carolina in that.
All right, then make Matt Ham over at Keepin' a Heel a little bit.
Keepingaheel.com.
Yep, keepinaheel.com. I mean, there's not a better name for a blog than keepinaheel.com.
Whoa, whoa. Reign of Troy, let's be real. Reignoftroy.com. Everyone check that out. Good writer over there named Carlos Liston.
Yeah, Carlos is, he's, I mean, he can throw some vernacular around, I'll tell you.
Follow him on Twitter too, at Carlos Liston.
Yeah, at Carlos Liston. But ignore a lot of what he says, but I hear every once in a while he'll have a dynamite dropping.
The problem with his Twitter really is that he talks about hockey too much, so.
Actually, baseball. I think he always talks about baseball.
That's true. I don't follow him, so I wouldn't know.
All right. Well, take my word for it. But let's move on and let's get rid of the NCAA tournament. I mean, let's face it, both of our brackets are already busted. So
Pretty busted. Pretty busted.
let's scrap that. Let's shift over to football, everyone's favorite sport. And you want to tell us about FanSided 150?
Fansided150.com is your free recruiting website where you can get free football recruiting news. That's unheard of. Recruiting news is now such a big thing, especially in football, that if you want news of recruits, you need to pay and you need to have an account, and you can't get in. But FanSided has decided to get rid of that stereotype and bring in Fansided150.com, run by Jimmy Allen, who has worked for Rivals in the past and has contacts with the majority of the recruits in the nation. And so you're going to get free recruiting news, so make sure you check that out. It's a fantastic site, just recently built, fresh off the press, but there's going to be a lot of good stuff going up on there.
Yeah, and our good friend Timmy Tolley is also throwing up some stuff over there too, and so there's a lot of recruiting stuff going on at FanSided150.com and really throughout the network. I know Tony Orlando's doing some great recruiting work over at BamaHammer.com. He's getting some interviews with recruits, so go check that out because Nick Saban's got his nose in every single recruit that's worth a star. I mean, he's on everyone, so go check out Tony Orlando's stuff. And then
Yeah. Fansided 150, that is spelled fansided, normal, and then the numbers 150.com.
yep, fansided150.com. And very last thing before we'll wrap this thing up, button down the hatchet and leave. Just want to go back to the tournament because, come on, let's face it, that's what everyone's talking about right now. And we can go over our top 10 right now, the top 10 group standings for the fan-sided Bracket Busters tournament. So remember,
Oh, I'm excited.
the grand prize gets $100 shopping spree at
Oh, that's big time.
fanatics.com, and they get an article featured about your success on bustingbrackets.com.
And it's probably going to be written by Carlos Liston, so that's pretty big time.
It could be. I mean, you don't mess with Carlos Liston. So let's look at the top 10. Number one by is B's Bracket by Tim Beebe. He's got
Though the nervous part about him is he's only got 150 possible 115 possible points left.
And the real big shot here is the guy who's tied with him, Charles. He's got a bracket called Sea Dazzle, and he's also 38 of 48, and he's got a possible of 175, so he probably has his final four still intact.
Let me look at that. Let me look at that. But while you're talking about, he's got all of his final four intact. He's got Cincinnati, who you like, Kansas, Michigan State, and Baylor.
There you go.
And he's got Michigan State playing Kansas for the championship, with Kansas winning it all.
It's interesting picks, but hey, he's still
But
alive.
he's winning right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting actually. You look at this standings, and you got two guys with 38 picks, and then there's really sort of a separation, and you drop down to 35 and 34 picks. So there's a big discrepancy here, especially because of how many big upsets there were with Missouri and with Duke going out. Even with Georgetown going out, the top seeds that I've already bit the dust. So in third, we have two guys, Andrew and TJ. They are tied with 47 points. In fifth place, we got three guys. One's called Hang It Up. The other one is Becky. She has Becky's bracket. And then Tasman 005 has the Taz bracket. And he's also in fifth place, along with TMSU with Michigan Showdown. He's also tied there.
There's only one fan-sided person in the top 10, it looks like. Jimmy Allen, fansided150.com.
Yep. And then
he's got ninth place.
Yeah, he's in ninth. And the guy in 10th place is also a guy named James P, and he's tied for ninth. So those are the top 10. Those are the guys in the hunt right now. I mean, obviously there's more. I mean, there's a person in 15th place that doesn't know how he's in 15th place. His name is Carlos Liston. Don't know how he's in 15th place, but he only has a possible of 80 points. So,
and that's pretty rough, a possible of 80 points.
Yeah.
I'm in 42nd place right now with a possible of 154, so
see,
things can really
go
good for me. So
that's what happens when you don't pick Missouri or Vanderbilt. That's what happens.
Yeah, well, yeah, then when your championship is Missouri and Vanderbilt right now, and Missouri lost in the first round and Vanderbilt in the second, well, you know, second and third if you go by NCAA rules, but that's crazy. So you're pretty much shot.
I think so. I think because of that, I think we're going to see really a more of an evolving figure of Carlos Liston. He's going to have to take over for me next week. So this will be my last episode. So with that, we're going to wrap this up. And next week, we should have Blake Lovell on the show. It'll be Blake Lovell, Mark Knight, and Carlos Liston. For Mark, this is Michael, and we are out of here.